Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I've been looking forward to this one. It's a big issue in the human condition for lots of people, and with the population bubble of the baby boomers, it's going to affect more and more people in the next couple of decades. It's the empty nest syndrome, and it can have and is having some significant ramifications in many families. To guide us through this very current dynamic of the human condition, our resident open house clinical psychologist, Lynn Worsley. Lynn, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
This is going to be a good one. So it is this very significant dynamic, now a syndrome. How would you define empty nest syndrome, Lynn?
Now, empty nest syndrome refers to feelings of depression, sadness, or a grief. It's experienced by parents and caregivers after their children come of age and leave their home. And it might occur when children go to university or move out or share a flat or get married. But women are more likely than men to be affected. And when the nest is emptying, mothers are going through some significant life events as well for themselves, such as menopause or caring for elderly parents. So it doesn't really mean that men are completely immune to empty nest syndrome.
No.
But men can experience similar feelings of loss regarding the departure of their children, but they just don't have the complications of other things as well.
I get that. Kids, though, have been leaving their homes ever since families began. So is this syndrome something that's a particularly new phenomenon, or is it changing as the times change?
Look, more mothers work these days, and therefore they feel less emptiness when their children leave home. Also, there's an increasing number of adult children between 25 and 34 that are now living with their parents at home. So now psychologist Alan Sheinberg,
yes.
He notes that the boomerang kids want the limited responsibility of childhood and privileges of adulthood. And so, children might also return home due to economics or divorce or extended education or drug or alcohol problems or temporary transitions.
There's a lot of that happening today.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. So there's a shift in the empty nest syndrome as well to be the unempty nest syndrome.
They're staying too long.
I'm not sure it's a syndrome though. But some people are depressed because their kids haven't left home and they can't get on with their own lives.
So what is this? What's that dynamic? How's that playing out? Because that's about money as well, isn't it?
It is. Yes. It is. Now, my observation and that of a number of colleagues both here and overseas is that one source of this tension is that many women have what I call the unnesting instinct at menopause.
Okay.
And this unnesting instinct is the opposite of what some women experience at the end of pregnancy when they find themselves scrubbing floors and straightening drawers and feathering the nest.
Yeah.
They literally get ready for the child and make room in their heads and their lives for the new person. But at menopause, a woman might find herself with a very different urge to get rid of stuff instead of cleaning and rearranging it to downsize. And this corresponds with a visit to your mother's house ending with walking out with old report cards or girl guides, paraphernalia or old school, high school magazines.
Yeah.
And it isn't just cleaning. It's a statement that's basically saying, I'm still your mother, but I'm moving on now with other things. And this unnesting instinct is there for the same reason as the nesting instinct.
Yeah.
It serves to push the child out of the nest so they can fly.
And
it gets us ready for the next stage.
Is a result of menopause?
Well, I don't know if it's a result or whether it's corresponding with menopause.
Okay.
But certainly nesting is a hormonal thing.
Yes, yeah.
And so it's got to have something to do with it somewhere.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think it's worthy of note is that the Australian Institute of Family Studies, in their report of men and women working, found that women from the ages of 48 to 56 are at the peak of their performance in the workplace.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And that's when they're just getting the leadership roles, when they're more valued to their colleagues in the workplace due to the wisdom and experience, and they're also their now availability. And they can work longer and they've got greater capacity to multitask due to the child rearing than they had, or they basically gained that from the child rearing years. And whereas men have a peak at an earlier age, perhaps due to the less demands of the family and the needs to be in the workforce and bring in the money to the family. So perhaps the unnesting instinct is functioning in a way to prepare the woman in particular to be ready for the next wave of adventure of working at her peak.
So is there a biological instinct, would you say, during this stage?
Well, Lee, I think there is, and this is related to the urges to clean and prepare and push out. In the nesting stage, the biological instinct is to clear things and prepare to be vulnerable. And if you look at the lioness, she stalks around and around the place where she's going to raise her cubs and before she births. She clears things so they're clean and they're free of danger. She chooses a place that's got good vantage spot for the father to be, and she chases him there. So then she has the cubs, and all the while knowing her surroundings really, really well. And that's exactly what we do. The instinct during pregnancy is often frantic and manic at the time, and it serves to a purpose of downloading the I'm having a baby program.
Yep.
But during the empty nest, the cubs are now too big, and they bring with them their own unpredictability and the danger that comes with unpredictability. So the lioness pushes them out of the nest, and she fights with them so they become stronger and they can do things on their own. When they're gone, she doesn't see them as her own, but she just sees them as another one of the pack.
Wow.
Now, empty nesting is like that if it's done well. The empty nest is a time for the children to come and go, but there needs to be some level of conflict if they try and stay.
Okay.
Empty nesting is a transitional time for everyone, and it's a time when the parents and the young people to begin to adapt to their new lives. But the empty nest syndrome is where there's often a reluctance to move the children or cubs from the nest, and there's conflict. And it is within the parents who don't want their children to become independent. So this is hard because the children don't learn how to manage in the world, and they constantly seek their parents' approval or their financial support and emotional reassurance. The relationship can become quite enmeshed.
Yeah. And as the empty nest plays out, and I'm sure we'll be dealing with this in the coming weeks, there are big challenges for the relationship of the people, the parents who are left behind.
That's right.
As well. So if the purpose of having an empty nest stage is to adapt, but what if you can't manage to work through that then?
Look, it takes us to work with the attachment theorists. What they say is that when we attach to our children and keep them and them to us, we set up a system that maintains itself over the years. Now, mothers who are close to their children will say that they know when their children are settled and they can relax. Adult children who don't feel comfortable with their lives will focus on their relationship with their parents and can either see their parents as the main source of comfort or pain. Mm. So this sets up a difficult situation. As a parent, the key here is that are you feeling the empty nest situation more than others because your child is not settled? Or if you are, then it may be a time to just pray, connect, seek them out and do things that encourage them to be more settled.
Yep, that's right.
But it doesn't mean letting them stay forever in your home without paying rent or sharing responsibilities. It doesn't mean rescuing your child. It means it's time to empower them within their circumstances. It may be that they need to be pushed to do things, like paying for things, doing it tough.
Yep.
It may be that they need to be nurtured while they do it tough. Now, recently, there was some analysis at the University of Michigan, and they found that among 18 to 24-year-olds in 2007, which was pre-recession, nearly three-quarters of young adults received assistance from parents each year.
So, again, that age is 18 to 24, you said.
That's right. Oh,
that's interesting.
Now, as for the amounts, it depended on the household, and the differences by parents' income levels were quite sizable. But the parents earning in the top income bracket gave six times as much financially to their kids as those in the bottom bracket.
Wow.
A difference of about $14,000.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Even the difference, the 14 grand's a lot of
money.
That's
right. Yes. That said, regardless of the household income, parents gave to their young adult children about 10% of their incomes annually during those years.
Mm.
Now, the greater levels of debt among adult young children, the more likely the parents were to help them out with larger amounts.
That's a trap.
That is.
If you haven't got the money.
That's right.
Do I sound like an old dad?
Yep.
Well.
The outlays, though, didn't differ significantly by whether the child was living independently or living with the parents. So 73% of those living with parents received financial help, while 65% of those living independently also did.
Wow. Okay.
So interestingly, even among young people who were working, 57% received assistance.
I'm going to cop it for my kids after this conversation because we've done not a lot of that because they've gone out on their own and made their own way.
That's why they're so balanced. I'm just saying that for one of
them.
They
are great kids. They are great kids. Can I just ask this? You mentioned 18 to 24-year-olds, and I know that there will be no hard and fast age or rule, but when is this dynamic, at what age is this dynamic going to start really being brought to a head?
I think that it's, well, it's different for different families.
Yes.
Yeah. But when they're finishing their studies, if they're finishing their studies or they're getting full-time work.
Yes.
But what was interesting, when you looked at that study a bit further, they did the studies after the recession to see what happened with the young people who weren't getting the jobs.
Okay, so we were talking before about
pre-recession.
Yes.
Now, if we look at the other studies, they actually looked at some qualitative studies where they interviewed about 80 young adults randomly on the effects of the recession, and they found that the vast majority had moved back home.
Yeah.
And they'd been sending out hundreds of resumes to no avail, and in the interim they'd felt shackled by the college bill that was coming due, and for many they wished they could move out, but they just couldn't see how they could afford to pay rent and the loan repayments for the universities. And interestingly, a sizable group, though, thought that paying rent is for suckers or it's throwing money away, so they would prefer to go home with their parents. And I'm not sure if they're holding out to put a down payment on something, but a sizable group mentioned that how remote owning a home now seems for them.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, their parents are kicking in by helping them pay their car insurance or their cell phone bills and sometimes the college loan, and they're stocking up the refrigerator. And only a handful of the 80 or so young adults were interviewed were actually paying rent.
Really?
Yes.
That's not much, is it?
Yes. Now, this all contributes to the empty nest syndrome, because in some ways it's avoiding going through that very wonderful transition where you move from having a nest full of children to having one there's just the two of you.
Yeah. And every parent's instinct is to help their kids. And especially through the financial difficulties that everybody's gone through over the past 5, 6, 7 years, you are sympathetic with kids, but you'd hate to be taken for a sucker yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of helping and rescuing involved in this. Should we be doing that, or to what extent should we be doing that?
Look, I think there may be two things going on.
Yeah.
One is that the parents may not want to let go because their only source of meaning comes from their children's success and well-being.
Which is a danger.
Yes.
Yeah.
But secondly, it may be because the kids themselves have been looked after too well. And there's a term that says that kids of today are far too safe for their own good. That they haven't really learnt the skills they need to cope with adversity, like moving out or paying for rent or contributing to living with others.
Yeah.
And remember that during the post-war, there was a lot of mother-blaming and guilt trips for mothers. And the result of psychological studies to do with the effect of parenting on psychopathology meant that these mothers felt more guilt. So that's resulted in the next generation of parents now becoming increasingly diligent so they don't get blamed like they blamed their own parents, to the point we have parents who are now being asked a little bit too kind.
Just get it right, will you?
So kids are being rescued and parents are finding it hard to let go because they've put all of their lives into raising the kids with little other interests.
Yes, yeah.
So the key here is to begin to see the balance and that change is good and transitions have their place in our lives, a place where we can grow in wisdom. Now, T.S. Eliot wrote in Little Gidding, "And to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from." So every life transition has an end, a middle, and a beginning. An empty nest is exactly that.
Yeah.
It's an end of something. It's the middle of a change and a beginning of something new. So it matters how we end things. So in order to make space for what's new, we must relinquish the old. It's a good time to get out old pictures and make up a big collage and remember what the family was like.
And it involves being a bit tough as well.
Yes, yeah. But it's important to honour one life stage and to say a proper goodbye to it and be grateful for that.
Mm.
And that then opens up a space to embrace the future with hope and some optimism.
Trouble is, it's probably mostly a gradual process. It's not, here it is, it's arrived today.
That's right.
And tomorrow we move into the next one.
And so the boomerang kids make it harder because you just get used to them going and you just get over that whole empty nest syndrome and then they're back again.
A fair few people that we know go through that.
Yes, a fair few.
Yeah. So everybody's kind of got this fork in the road then.
Yes. Each of us has a choice. It's a cognitive fork in the road. It's a thought choice. You can choose to think of it in two different ways.
Hmm.
To choose one pattern of thought or another. One pattern is that, would be sad all the time that my children have gone.
Yes.
Or excited about the next adventure. Robert Frost put it in his poem, The Road Not Taken. He said, "The path we choose will in the end make all the difference." And I think that depends on our attitude and how we look at this stage.
When you said empty nesters, I leapt onto it and I thought, oh, that'll be good. Where are you going to take us next week in this, Lynn?
I think we'll continue talking about empty nest and thinking about some of the things you can do if you are experiencing an empty nest syndrome and feeling terribly sad. There's some of the things to do to actually prepare yourself for the stage and through the stage and to actually help you to see the life as an adventure.
Look forward to it, as always. Lynn Worsley, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me. See you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.